Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome to the Safety Third Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be your host for today, the host with the most, Jabrils. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad you're doing it. I didn't want that responsibility.
Jabrils, just introduce everyone. You know, just introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Jabrils, the only person that matters. Today we're talking about paper. Do you like cardstock?
I like thick paper. Glossy and thick and it gets a nice crease on it.
How thick are we talking? Because it gets to the point where it's too thick for a printer and you got to go like the special services.
I don't know, man.
Do you have with paper, Kevin? What experiences have led you?
He's the one asking the questions about paper. I feel like he knows something.
What experiences have led you to getting a favorite form of paper?
Well, I've printed a lot of stuff in my life. I don't know where to begin. I have right now 10 different types of paper. No, maybe like three different, Damn. Four different types of paper.
This is serious.
I actually have four different types of paper. Turns out
I've got really good photo paper. I've got like the glossy kind of paper. I've got transparency paper and I've got the plain paper.
Have you ever wondered what technology and science and research has gone into creating these different forms of paper? Or do you take them all for granted?
I take them all for
granted. What's your opinion on the Amazon forest, Kevin?
let me tell you why I have so much paper. It's because I was trying to make my own PCBs. So you got to find the right kind of paper. So you print the toner on the paper. You flip it over onto the copper board, you iron it on, and then you peel it off, and it should leave the ink behind on the copper. But it has to be like a certain kind of glossy paper, or it won't work.
So you don't have a love for paper. You just had a project.
I'm not really that into printing, guys. Don't get me, I don't want you to get the wrong idea here.
Nothing wrong with printing, Kevin.
Can I start us off with some really depressing news? I'm sorry. I got to go there.
Sure.
All right.
I love
you. Hold on. Emo's back. Bernard's back.
You also never introduced everyone, Jabril.
No, I introduced everyone that mattered, Nigel. Okay. All right?
We're recording. Oh.
So by now, you guys have probably realized there's nothing. There's nothing different to this podcast for
nothing
any other podcast.
Nothing worth mentioning.
I didn't even know we started. Okay. Hi. How's it going? What's up?
Okay, Jabril, I will say it again. The people as the self-proclaimed host.
Okay, I'll do it. All right, this is what the people want. I'll give the people what they want. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am your host for the Safety Third Podcast, Jabrils. Hello, welcome. The handsome, the beautiful, the dashing Jabrils. Welcome. Thank you. With so many amazing, great accolades, what a very amazing person Jabrils is. Hello. Welcome. That is me. We have Nigel, Kevin, and Bernard. All right. Let's continue.
That's good. More than I could have asked
for any of us, honestly. I thought you were talking about all of us.
Yeah. When you were describing yourself, it could have been any of us.
I thought he was about to introduce me.
Except for the million times I said Jabrils.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
How would you introduce me, hypothetically, if you were to introduce me?
I would say, this is Kevin, the owner of the channel, Backyard Scientist, a.k.a. One Crazy Motherfucker. That's what I would say.
All right. That's good.
What about me?
I'd say this is Nigel. He is a dashing, charming 007 Bond villain.
You're referencing that one video.
That's all I need. That's all I need. It's like stuck in my head. Chemistry man.
And Bernard.
Change the game of chemistry. Bernard, I would say he is the innovative medicine man that came up with the amazing format to deliver medicinal. Medicinal is probably not the right word, but that's the first word coming to me. Medicinal.
Medical advice.
There you go.
Legally binding medical advice.
No medical advice.
Bernard is here strictly to give medical advice. Professional medical advice.
I'm going to get my license yoinked.
Wait, so I gotta start us off with something kind of depressing, okay. Right? I'm sorry I got to go there, but I love yogurt, okay? I went grocery shopping yesterday for yogurt, but I didn't pay attention, and I got the low-calorie yogurt.
Okay.
And the aftertaste is so bad. And
It's astringent, almost, you could say. It puckers you.
I don't know what that word means.
Is that your experience?
I think so. All I know is I have like 18 cups and I don't want to eat any of them. It's really bad.
It's thick, you know?
If you ate all 18 of them, you could end up in
one
of mine.
It's almost gritty. It's like it's like halfway dehydrated.
Wait,
yogurt.
Bernard.
But what did he say?
I don't want to be in your video. He said if you eat all 18 of them, you might be in one of my videos.
My question is,
wait, it's an 18
how do
pack?
They get the fat out of the yogurt? So. Do they just not put the fat in? I don't know how yogurt's made. I actually don't know how yogurt's made.
It's made from milk, isn't it?
Why is low fat?
They take a cow and they put it in. Have you ever seen how fighter jets train? Like pilots train for fighter jets? They sit in that thing and it spins them around really fast.
Like a human centrifuge.
Yeah, but they do it with cows. And they flip the cows upside down so the milk comes out of the udders before the fat does.
So like it like separates them, the speed separates them through density. Or something like that.
Yes, exactly, like a centrifuge.
Damn.
Both a cow.
Do the cows survive this process?
It has a pretty good success rate for fully grown cows.
Now, why can't they extract the milk in its entirety and then put the milk in the centrifuge?
I was going to say, what is the...
Because the cows like it. The cows, they love it.
Yeah, Jabril.
They line up
Jabril, in fact, they tried to do that, but the cows demanded... To be centrifuged.
They protest. They unionized.
So that's it? That's all the news you had?
Yeah, that's all the news I had. I'm really sad. Really sad about it.
What flavor?
Vanilla.
I got strawberry and blueberry, but I'm not eating any of them. Or maya. I might, you know?
You bought 18 of them?
I think it's 18 pack, I think.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. I like Sam's.
Vons, yeah. Same thing, I think.
What could you do with yogurt?
Besides eat it?
If you're not going to eat it, could you like dehydrate it a little bit, sculpt something out of it?
That's too much work. I'm too lazy for anything that. All right. So.
Oh, wait. Do you want me? Is everyone going to half host or are you going to be, you're the official host?
Maybe it should rotate.
The official full-time host.
Yeah, let's rotate.
Rock, paper, scissors.
It's your turn, Nigel.
My turn? You can't just throw it on me.
You're next in line.
Hey, you... You dealt it.
No, but you have to. The rotation is clockwise, anti-clockwise. Sorry, counterclockwise. Because otherwise, it's me.
Do I have powers to move screens?
Okay. So,
what do you want to talk about?
Well, hey, Nigel, your last video is quite a hit.
I guess.
You kept telling us.
I'm supposed to be asking the questions here. Sorry.
Yeah, no, because you kept asking. You're like, oh, this, you know, this is becoming such a burden. It's so difficult to do, right? And then, lo and behold, over the weekend, boom.
Oh, man, that's almost worse, though, because it, like, reinforces the fact that hard work pays off. You know, like, he put all this work into a video, and then it does really good, and that kind of, like, positive reinforcement that it's worth it to do this.
No, I'll never do it again. So
that was your last video ever, right?
This is recorded. You know that, right, Nigel?
All right, somebody.
Yeah, this is my official statement.
In 6 months, we'll see how many videos he's made.
It's like it's too much work, and what I mean by that is like for videos like that, it's even just a lot of the main channel videos, I realize I cannot live a life and make them. Like, before, when I was making videos a lot, I was kind of like how everyone is who makes videos. You're very much stuck in a cycle of film videos, edit, and then post, film, then edit and post, like, constantly. But the project started taking 2 months to film.
You would think so.
Sorry?
I said you would think that's what I'm stuck doing.
Exactly.
You'd be very surprised.
Well, so what's kind of funny is, like, a lot of my projects take, like, 2 months to film. I'd say at least a month to film and at least a few weeks to put together. But for 2020, I posted them on a monthly basis. So it's like, how is that possible? And the answer is because I had a bunch filmed ahead. I had about six filmed ahead of time. So it made that possible. But the moment I don't have that backlog, which was like 2021, I can't do that. I cannot – you can't film videos that take 2+ months and post them on a monthly basis. And in that 2+ months, you're working every single day, all day, no weekends, and you don't really do anything. So I was like, you can't do those. Those projects are impossible to do on like a timely basis. So it's even like the hot sauce video took me, I want to say 4 months of full time work. Working, if you were to say 12 hours a day, at least with no weekends. So it's like you literally, the only reason it was possible was because in Quebec, we had a curfew. And we had a bunch of COVID lockdowns. So because of that, there was nothing going on. But the moment I have other things to do, then it's just not possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, so this kind of brings up the point of like YouTubers, right? Because if you see like the people who have been on the platform for a super long time, their content turns to become at least something that I see having made videos, right? It becomes more sustainable. Mm-hmm. In the sense of it's like you laugh, you lose, and meme review kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Do you think people just eventually hit a point where they say, screw it, I'm done making high quality videos, I'm just going to post whatever I want?
Well, I think in my opinion, there's kind of like a, when you start YouTube and you're very, you know, motivated, hungry, but you're not getting very many results. Then you hit this point where all of your motivation, you get results. Mm-hmm. So you're willing to pump all this effort into it in a very unhealthy way. But then you kind of get to a point where you're like, hey, the channel's successful enough that I don't have to worry that it's just going to fail tomorrow. And then you start wondering, okay, I, you know, neglected my personal life. I neglected so many other things. Do I need to do that anymore? And like the moment I started taking like, you know, the occasional evening off and the occasional weekend, I was like, I can't make videos as quickly.
Right. Yep. And then you also learn in the process, right? Like when you first start, you're kind of just throwing stuff at the board, just like what works. And you learn and you're like, okay, this works for my channel. Now I have to stay within this confines, and it kind of restricts you creatively a bit.
I'd say also too, like as you learn, the thing that I think a lot of people who watch the videos don't necessarily, like they can't feel that because they're not the ones making it, is like every video you make, you learn something. You might be like, oh, it's really cool when I, whatever, film in this way. Then the next video, you did everything you did before, except you also will add that extra thing you learned in. And it's like every video, if you learn something new, by the time you're like 100 videos in, you're doing a lot more than you were doing on the first video. And now the whole production just takes way longer. Mm-hmm. Like from planning, filming to editing, you've just multiplied the work you have to do. So you went, and I know in my head, I used to make videos one every 3 days. And then at one point, I felt it was impossible to do it, and I put it to a week. And then I would go, okay, I can't do weekly. I can do bi-weekly. Then it was like
that's
monthly.
That's how I did it too.
Because you don't realize there's like this slow growth of things you add to every video, and you start getting super stressed that you're like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do it in like 2 days anymore?
That's currently the situation I'm going through at the moment, where like I kind of have an audience at the moment, right? But I'm kind of trying to shift the content that I'm doing, and so it's like I want to fail fast, right? Like I want to upload a lot of content, but I'm not at the place where I used to be, where I didn't really have an audience. So there's a lot more at stake if I try and just like upload a bunch of stuff really quickly that doesn't have like a lot of quality and what the audience currently expects. And so it's kind of like, well, to retain this current audience while also trying to reach a new one, I guess I'm going to invest like a lot of time into a video. But the problem is that like there's no guarantee that's going to pay off because I'm trying something new, right? So it's like a really weird situation that I'm currently in, and I don't exactly know what to do. But
I feel like that's why a lot of people start a second channel, is to free themselves of that kind of responsibility. I mean, that's what I started a shorts channel. I just post garbage.
Yeah, I think it's, at least I see it a bit differently, because I'm not trying to do the same thing I've been doing on my main channel. Like, I'm trying to do something like, I wouldn't say completely different, but slightly different than what the current audience has known me to do, which is the AI stuff. I'm trying to lean a bit away from that, just because like when I first started doing the AI content, the industry was like pretty brand new. Like there was no standards, no nothing. But nowadays you have like OpenAI and GPT and all these crazy projects that have like thousands of employees and like hundreds of thousands of dollars of computers to compute this stuff. It's like next to impossible to compete.
No, but people like the way that you tell the story. You know, they don't care what it is. They like hearing you talk about it or explain it.
I guess we'll find out soon here, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. What are you trying to do, though? I mean, this doesn't come out for 2 weeks, so you can tell us.
Oh, tight,
but then you've
tight.
Really got to get that video out.
Yeah. So I took a step back, and I'm trying to figure out like what is a way that I can continue doing like programming computer science projects, but also give people what they want to see. Because I often used to be trapped in like, this is what I want to make, and like people that also want to watch it will watch it, right? But yeah, I think talking to like you guys and other people, I've learned that like it's important to first start with like what is that people want to watch in the first place? And then how can I make something cool around that I also want to make, right? So the next project that should be releasing in a week, I took Wordle, which is the world's most popular game at the moment. Who would have thought? And I made it into a 1v1 like deathmatch online game that anyone can play in the browser. And so
can we play?
Yeah, we can play after this if you're down.
No, play on the podcast, he's saying.
Yeah, sure.
We'll play it on the Patreon. How about that?
Yeah, I think we will. Yeah, we'll play it after, just because otherwise people can't see it.
Oh, yeah, we can do it on the extra content.
Yeah.
You can try to test it with people on the Patreon server.
I'm down.
If you have... All right.
But then once he posts it to the Patreon server, and then it gets super popular and takes off, and then becomes popular before his video comes out. Disaster. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, one of the things you bring up about like you're not, because you're doing something different and you're not sure if people are going to want to watch or something, right? Like I experience that all the time with my videos, because it's like if I talk about a different case, like what's a good title for, like I have some really interesting stuff. I might reveal parts of like what happens in the video in the title, so I'd have to title it differently, but then that different title kind of sucks, right? So it's like I know the people subscribe to me are probably going to watch, right? But if you're aiming for an audience beyond subscribers, right, because inevitably it's 50-50, if not more, non-subs watching than subscribers, right, you have to attract somebody in who doesn't know who you are at all, right? And so it's like if the title kind of sucks, right? Like let's just say a woman bumped her head in a car accident and then this is what happened to her organs or something. That's kind of a stupid title, right? But a woman smashed her head in a car accident. This is what we found in her vagina, right? Something like that. People would be like, wait, what? that's if YouTube doesn't kill you for using that word in the title in the first place, right?
I think that problem though with titling stuff is just in general a problem that you have when making videos, because it's like there are a bunch of ideas that I have that I'm like, I know the content is interesting, but there's no way to title it in a way that's actually enticing.
Right.
It's just like, yeah, if you watch the video with no title, you'd probably be like, oh, that was pretty cool and interesting, but there's nothing I could title it that would make you want to watch it.
Nigel, can I ask you, from your experience of doing shorts, do you feel freed, like not having to title your shorts content?
I mean, you still do. The only platforms you don't have to title it is like TikTok, and I guess technically Facebook, because they're on auto, like, or shorts, because they just,
it's like the feed, you know. Yeah. Do a lot of people watch by clicking on the channel, or do they just kind of scroll through the feed?
I mean, I can check, but it depends on which video. Some of them you do have to pay attention to the title. Like, we,
let's just say TikTok. Let's just say TikTok.
Oh, TikTok. I mean, there is no option for a title. So,
do you feel free from that? Like,
it is freeing in some ways because it's like, even like the most recent video that I posted on, or that we posted on the Shorts channel, it was like, we called it "Making a Fireball from Scratch is Crazy." And the reason we called it that was because we gave up. And I said, I have to deal with this hot sauce project. Corey, which is my brother, just name it anything. And he's like, how about this? And I'm like, yes, just do it. And this video is longer than a minute, so it doesn't even go into the Shorts player. And then lo and behold, it's 10 on 10 for the chat. Like,
yeah,
but I'm just saying that it is liberating because we posted it on TikTok. There's no question on what the title is. You just post it.
Yeah, no thumbnails either for Shorts.
We still make them, but they're pretty rudimentary. Yeah, like there's basically no thumbnail.
I mean, yeah, but if you're like, you know, scrolling through it,
well, I'm saying you
doesn't Shorts, it may, it's like auto-generates a
you
thumbnail.
Still want people to be able to browse and see it, but it's like knowing channel. That there are so few people browsing to the Shorts that you don't really have to like
put that much time into it.
Yeah, like I have one thing here that went into the Shorts player. 75% Shorts, but it says 20% channel pages, YouTube search 2%, browse features 1. So it's like it's pretty yeah. Down there. Like it doesn't really matter too much. So yeah, to answer your question, Jabril, it is a bit liberating when you don't have to do the thumbnail and title.
What would you say? So that's definitely a pro. What would you say is a con of not being able to title your stuff?
Of not being able to title your stuff? I mean, you're just kind of at the whim of whatever served up. So, like, the people watching it don't really have a will. It's just, I mean, it's what...
I know that when I watch Shorts...
Yeah.
It's, you know, just scrolling through the player, it's really hard to find small channels appear in the Shorts. Usually it's like, you know, million views, million views, million views, million views. Then maybe, like, 1 in 10 or 1 in 20.
Yeah,
you might get something with, like... 100 thumbs ups or so, you know, 100 likes or something like that. So I think it's really hard to get a foothold.
I know at least
on Shorts.
On TikTok, something that's happened to me where you're scrolling and yeah, it's the same thing. You see mostly a lot of likes and views, but then I've seen a video before and I went, ha, that was funny. I'm gonna like it so that I can like, you know, it's basically like bookmarking it so I can see it later. But then I noticed before I click like, it's only been liked 3 times.
Yeah, it's like it's always like, yeah, like you discovered
and
something.
And there's like one comment, but the problem is like I don't want to like it because then the creator sees I like it. Like I like to be hidden in the masses of the likes. But there's only 3 other people.
You might just give them that boost they need,
I
Nigel.
Know. There's only 3 other people who like it, and if it's kind of like some edgy or some weird content, I'm like I don't want my name associated with this. I'm just liking
Do
it.
Do you think
so
that your like
what?
Do you think that your like has extra weight, though?
No. I just know that, like, it's... Sometimes something will be shocking.
No, I don't mean it like
that. I'm saying it'll be shocking, so I want to like it so I can show my brother and, like, look at this, like, crazy video. But it doesn't mean I actually like it. But I feel like if I heart it and the person sees it, it's like I'm endorsing the video. Like, they'll see it and go, oh, this person liked this video. I'm like, no, I'm bookmarking it.
Wait, I have a really important follow-up question to that.
Yeah.
So you didn't like it. Were you able to find it? Were you able to find it later, though?
I let it go. I let it go, Jabril.
Were you able to find it later, though?
No, I never saw it again. I let it go into
Damn.
The wind.
That's
And this
crazy.
This channel is going into the depths of obscurity, never to be seen again.
I could have saved them.
So that's that. I guess that is a really big con of not being able to title it. Like, if you don't bookmark it, as you're saying, it's gone basically forever.
It's just gone forever. That's a
well,
I mean,
guess you could remember the channel name, right?
Yeah, and I found stuff on TikTok before because depending on what people hashtag it, you can search through the hashtags. So I've descriptively written in a video like penguin falls and does this, and you find it. Sometimes it's pretty, since it was ended up being popular, you find it pretty quickly. But I've had
but
some
I was
that
asking,
I never see again.
Do you think that, like, as a big content creator, that you're like, or your
wait,
view
wait,
or your share.
Who's a big content creator?
You are.
Not you.
Kevin. Hey, so what are you asking?
I got more subscribers than you.
I know I talked about how I'm coming for you.
The thing about Tidal is that, like, I got one of these. It's a butane torch.
Mm-hmm.
And half the time it doesn't start. Right? And it's like it's filled. It's filled all the way. Doesn't start. And if I can't title the videos, I can't search for why doesn't this thing start up. And it turns out if you turn it upside down and then press it, I'm not going to press it here, but it'll start up.
It's a flamethrower? Like,
no,
do it.
No.
Bernard, does
it turn into a flamethrower?
It's going to melt my microphone, which is standing right here. But yeah, it's like if you can't title it, then you can't find
I want to see fire,
like,
Bernard.
What you need, right?
He did it.
Oh, okay.
You have to turn it upside down, and it's like, why? Like,
because it's gangster. That's a gangster thing. Like, what up?
So wait, Kevin, what were you going to ask before?
I was going to say, like, I wonder if, sometimes I wonder if I like something or if I watch something or share it, that because I have a lot of subscribers or something, it counts as like a super like to the algorithm, or almost like it's, we're kind of like a, I don't know, like a verification that it's not complete trash, or that it's like, you know, doesn't break the rules a lot. Something like that.
Like
we're almost like a filter.
I don't know if that, I mean, obviously I have no insight on how the algorithm actually works. I don't really think that probably weighs that much into it. I would say that if you like or comment on other content, I'd say what's much more likely is that other people see it and then they think, oh, I like Kevin and he likes this, therefore this guy must also be good. Because I've seen small creators that are, you know, pretty small channels, and then there'll be a comment by some massive creator. And I know in my head, I'll see it and go, oh, I guess this, I don't know, like, it does change the perception of the channel. It shouldn't, but it kind of does. Like, it makes it seem more...
They've been noticed.
It makes it seem more legit than if you just found it and you're like, oh, it's I don't know. It does give it kind of like a little badge of verification because some person who you think is good recognized it.
That's weird. I think that's true on YouTube more than other platforms.
I mean, I see it on TikTok a lot. Like, I'd see a video that I like, then I'll click the comments, and I'll see some other people that I either follow or I like liking it. And I'm like, oh, cool. It's not just me who thinks it's good. And then suddenly... Wait. Sorry?
I was just going to ask, does TikTok proactively filter the people that you like comments at the top?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think if you follow somebody or you're friends with them, then you see their comments on the top of the videos that they've commented on. And same as your own videos. Like, I've gone on mine, and I've scrolled. Like, and there are some people, like, because, I mean, you'd assume, I mean, I guess in my head I assume that the people with the blue check marks would go to the top, but they don't actually, as far as I know, filter that.
I think they do. Actually, you're right. They don't.
Because
I've seen people, like, they comment on my videos, and they might only get, like, a couple
and
likes.
I didn't even know they commented. And then it's like, I'd be looking through the comments because I was looking for something. And I'd be like, hey, this person commented. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool because I follow their stuff. But they were like in the depths of nowhere in the comment section. But when I'm following
them,
that's
happened
to
me on Will's video before. Like, I've commented on one of Will's videos and like he never even gave it a heart or anything like that. I was heartbroken.
Yeah, I know that I think Alex, I did a thing, commented on, I don't know if it was this one or one of the other videos. I didn't see it. I looked through the comments for the first little while, and I didn't see it at all. But apparently, my brother said he was looking through it and saw it. And he said it was, like, down. But then they claimed that he deleted it out of shame. He realized he was drowned out in the comments, and I don't know. I never asked him about it. But we like to believe that he deleted it out of shame.
I like it. I like seeing other YouTubers comment on my videos. Nighthawk and Light always comments on my stuff, and I always like it.
I need to
be... he's always... thoughtful.
Yeah, that's the thing.
We should get him on the podcast.
I feel, I mean, we could. I mean, we're not the administration of this podcast, though. We need
administrator's
away. He needs.
But I'm basically the
co-administrator,
and you're assistant to the co-administrator.
Exactly. I was going to say that I always find it. When people comment on my videos, especially if I've seen their stuff and I like their videos, it always feels good. But then I never comment on other people's stuff.
I'm
always
too.
Just like, oh, well, it's kind of like they don't know me. And it's kind of like, you know, I feel
like,
awkward. What am I saying? And I think so much about my comment that I'm like, I won't say anything. But then, yeah, when they comment on your stuff, you're like, oh, what a nice thing to say. That was such a nice comment. I need to be more involved in the community. Sometimes I do.
I don't know. Whatever you're doing seems to be working for you. So just keep on ignoring everybody.
Get it.
Might, you know, it adds to the mystique. Do you ever really comment?
I said cotton. That's not even a word. I've caught some flack. People say, I've had some people tell me that it's good to be mysterious, but I'm too mysterious. I go out of my way to not do things.
I mean, you're showing up on this podcast, so it's not that mysterious.
This is like, it's like one thing. When, I mean, I guess some of the people are like my brother and my friend that I work with. They get mad because they'll keep telling me, the video's done. We're planning to post it in like 3 or 4 days. Tell people. And I go, no, I'm just going to post it. Like,
why do they say tell people?
I don't know, just to like hype people up or something. And I'm just like, no,
you remember when people used to post like trailers to YouTube? Like, oh, I got this new video coming out. Here's a trailer.
We should start doing that again.
Darman does that now, doesn't he? Or I think he may have stopped recently, but he used to do it, right?
Who is it?
Darman.
What does he do?
You have to see it to understand it.
Yeah, you have to see it to believe it.
Which is he'd say in his video.
Oh, yeah, now they have premieres.
Yeah.
So you don't really need to do that anymore. Like, look at all these reminders he's got. Oh, my God, he's got a lot of views.
No, he's doing well.
Is it like commentary?
Huh?
I mean, Bernard, feel free to explain it.
Wait, he's what?
What does Darman do?
Oh, I mean, it's just like scripted. He'll have actors, and then it usually has like a lesson. Like, there's usually a point to the videos. The funny thing is, with people, they find it sometimes. It's like they like people will say it's cringy or whatever. My opinion, the guy gets the point across really quick. At least he used to in his videos from like before January 2021. And like to me, it was like golden YouTube content, the way that I saw it, because within like 30 seconds, not even within 10 seconds. He shows you like exactly what's going on. And the thing is that anybody and everybody recognizes instantly the situation that's going on. And like, it is over the top. It is like ultra dramatic in some cases, but like, that's what's golden about it is that it's just so, you have to see it to believe it.
I want to add a bit of description to what he does. Basically, Kevin, they're kind of like, feel good, I guess, life lessons. And he's presenting them as sketches. So it would be, I mean,
husband abandons overweight wife.
Exactly. So there'd be like this negative situation where the husband, and like Bernard says, it's very simple. Like the script's very simple. It'd probably be a husband being like, I'm leaving you because I'm not attracted to you anymore or something. And then it would be like this whole negative thing that happens and they split apart. But then it would be there's like the guy learns the wrongs of his ways, and there's just this life lesson that comes from it. And it'll be like, don't judge people, and like all this other, there'll just be a life lesson from that. So it'll be like this sketch where something negative happens, and then there'll be this redemption other part where the person learns. Or the whatever, the bad guy learns the wrong, I don't know, I can't even speak English anymore.
There was one where there was a woman who had cancer, and then her husband like left her for another woman, and then the other woman like walked in, and then so the wife had like this breakdown, and like turns out she didn't die from the cancer, and then turns out that the guy got cancer. And like it's so over the top, right? And so it's like a soap opera.
The moral of that story, Kevin, is if you leave someone who has cancer, you'll get cancer. So
I'm just amazed that I'm always amazed by the channels that I've never seen before. You know, I've never been recommended anything like this.
Wait, really?
No.
Because you live in a science bubble, Kevin. You got to branch out to the real world of Darman.
Not after seeing this stuff.
Well, so, and the interesting, well, so that story of like somebody getting abandoned by their partner because they have cancer, I mean, that's actually not as uncommon as you think it is.
Oh no, yeah.
Oh, I know. I've heard stories like that before.
And it always kind of like makes you like feel really awful, like when you hear something like that. And then like if you talk with both of the people, it's always kind of interesting. So I would actually wager that a lot of Darman videos come from like either his direct personal experience or like some kind of offshoot of an experience. So like sometimes people say like, oh, no, nobody acts like that in real life, right? But sometimes it's like it's either a caricature or in some cases, some people do actually behave that way, right? It's like guys with cars sometimes, right? you know, and it's like they're over the top in his videos. But in real life, I think we all know at least one person who's like just way over the top with something, and it just seems so exaggerated in the video, but then you see it happen in person and you're like, wait a second, like people do behave like that in some capacity.
I think someday he's going to be exposed for copying Reddit copied pastas, like one
Dude,
for one.
I was just gonna say that these titles look exactly like something that would be on Relationship Advice or TIFU. It looks exactly like that, like all over dramatized.
See, it seems over-dramatized, but then, like, there are some situations where, like, I don't know. Like, I'd say every one of us has probably, like, experienced something in one of these videos. Maybe not as over-the-top, but, like, there was one about, like a boss screaming at somebody. Like, I've been screamed at before in the workplace, and it's, like, it wasn't that different from what was in the video. Obviously, you know it's an actor, right?
I was going to say, I think the acting's over the top or the scene's over the top, but it's not like 200% over the top. It's like 20%, 10%. Like it's those things happen. It's just that the way that they present it might be exaggerated, but it's not like grossly, at least the ones I've seen, it's not like grossly exaggerated. Like you said, there are weird times where someone might actually be over the top like that. But like I've only seen a handful. I'm not well versed in these videos.
Well versed in the Darman universe.
Exactly.
There was, when I discovered him, when he showed up in my feed, this was probably like fall of 2020, and his number one most viewed video was like Gold Digger like leaves boyfriend, and then what happens next is shocking or something. And like within five
That's
seconds.
Good content.
Like, you know, within 5 seconds, the woman is like, excuse me, you bought me this Coach bag? And I like in almost instantly. And you're just like, Jesus, right? And it's like that the conflict is like right there. But like you can recognize it. And it's not just like not just I would recognize it, like even my parents would recognize it, right? And it's like, you know, my parents are in their 70s, and when they see something, they're like, oh no, like, you know, what's going on, what's going to happen to this guy, right?
And I know partly the reason I know about it is that Cody Ko talked about it, and he appeared in one of the episodes. And he asked why the script was kind of like a bit over dramatic, and the script was also written. It wasn't like a real person would not necessarily speak like that, which I think adds to it feeling not real. But apparently he said that it's very simplistic and then also very emotive, because you can understand what's happening without even hearing, like the words don't matter.
Yeah.
Which is also why when you act just like 20% more like dramatic, it doesn't matter what language or culture you're from. You're like, hey, that guy's mad because this happened. Like, it's to get rid of all the subtleties and just completely lay out exactly what's happening. But then as a native English speaker, you're like, well, that's kind of awkward. That's my insight.
All right. As the host, I want to use this opportunity to what's the word I'm looking for?
Transition.
Transition.
the transition into a topic I think is quite interesting, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, all right?
All right.
Okay, host your bro.
So I recently turned 30 years old, all right?
Oof.
And I've been thinking a lot about the direction the internet is heading now that I'm getting older, right? And I say this because when I was younger, I was in the deeps of like AOL chats and whatnot, the chat rooms, right?
Oh yeah.
In which I learned so much about internet culture, like the all the acronyms TTYL, ASL, blah 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 blah, right? Fast forward to like 10 years after that, my parents finally get into the internet and they don't know what any of this means. Like they know nothing about this evolution, right?
And I know where you're going with this.
And so now I'm looking at the internet and there's so many like different like subcultures that I am afraid of like what is being developed on these platforms that like I'm missing out on. For instance, like I recently joined the dating scene again and like almost every chick is like, add me on Snapchat. And like, I don't have Snapchat. But obviously, it's a popular thing. What the hell is going on Snapchat? I have no idea. I'm not on TikTok that much. There's a subculture developing there. I know the subculture of Twitter, thankfully. VR chat is another one. And I'm just scared that someday, someone's going to smack me in the face where I have no idea. I can't relate at all.
No, Jabril, they're just like you guys just did to me with Darman.
Wait, no, Jabril, one day someone's going to, whatever the equivalent is of boomer, they're going to call you that and you're going to just be completely shell-shocked.
Yeah, that's my thoughts at the moment.
That's your big fear.
Yeah, so I didn't realize the Snapchat thing is like, I don't know, you remember like 15 years ago, you just ask like a girl for her number or whatever. Now it's like you ask her for her Snapchat. That's the thing. I think
it depends on what age and where you're from, because I know it's also a meme. Even on TikTok, it's a meme that they're like, if a guy, like it was a lot of girls you'd see say it, like if a guy asks for your Snapchat, then he's too young. Because it means he's below the age of like 22 or something. He's probably like 19. So it's kind of also a meme, yeah, where it's definitely a younger demographic.
That's not true.
What are you trying to say, Nigel? You saying I'm going after 18-year-olds?
No, I'm saying that Snapchat as a whole is a younger skewed demographic.
Social media like that is in general.
My Snapchat numbers say something different. I mean, one of the biggest demographics watching me on Snapchat is women over 35.
That is the one thing that I was going to say. There is an exception there.
Yeah,
and
but
it's also
but you are
older people.
You're viewing a subset of the. I'm saying that like as Snapchat as a whole, I think like 80% of their user base is below the age of 24 or something. Or maybe even more. It's pretty. I can look it up. Hopefully I'm not making stuff up. Snapchat user base age.
It might be younger, but I mean, there's people my age using it. Like that, I know, right? And like you're
so
looking at over 35. Right?
Sorry, it's 48% of in 2020 were 25 to 15.
Why would you deliver
that's
that
2020.
Backwards?
I know. I had to think about that for a second.
I'm just telling you what I'm seeing here on this random website I found.
I feel like with a lot of older people, you know, our parents' age, they're mainly on Facebook. They never really... Actually, no. TikTok, too. My mom is always on TikTok. She spends like 2 hours a day on TikTok,
yeah,
apparently.
Same. Mm-hmm.
She keeps telling me, you know, after you spend an hour on it, you get that message that tells you, like, you know... What are you doing?
Dude,
you might want to get out, like, touch grass.
It's gotten bad. My mom will just start randomly saying, like, stuff. I'm like, Mom, what the hell are you referencing? Oh, I'm watching TikTok. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, Snapchat, I didn't use it very much. And I remember from, like, 10 years ago, right? I mean, I was, what, 26 or 27? And like people were telling me about it and some people were using it. Like, I mean, a bunch of residents were using it and they were like, oh yeah, it's the coolest thing. And you know, we're on like the iPhone 4 at that time, cause it's like 2011. Right. So it's like, you know, and speaking of that, when you say that, the internet has changed so much, do you remember that 2011, 2012 divide where like Bootstrap JS had just come out? And like you could resize the Wikipedia window and the text wouldn't have like a horizontal scroll bar, that actually the text would converge like and it'd squeeze in to the center. So that
I have
you could
no idea what you're talking about.
That happened in 2012, right? And so it's like I remember when web pages became mobile friendly because
they were like
in
static.
2011,
every web page was static for one
friendly.
Window size.
Yeah.
We gotta take things back to that. Those were the good old days.
I don't know.
The internet great again. Yeah.
I don't know if you want to go with that one, but we can work on it. I don't think anybody can be active on all the social media and know everything that's going on the internet. And if they do,
then it's their job.
It's probably not healthy.
Yeah, it's their job and they're also unhealthy.
Yeah. You know, I've dabbled in all of them, or, you know, a lot of them, but like you said, there might be something I don't even know about. But, you know, I don't like Snapchat personally. Instagram is too, you know, YouTube's where I spend a lot of time on YouTube, a lot of time on Reddit and Twitter. I mean, VRChat's pretty good too, but it's too much work.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of subcultures. I know that, like, when you go between different platforms and even in small areas of different platforms, you definitely get exposed to a lot of different content and just different, I guess, like, there's a lot of different memes and everything. You're just, you're never going to be able to understand everything. It's impossible.
Politically incorrect.
Yeah, I don't think, like, my fear is understanding everything. My fear is missing out on, like, what is a very popular thing that just, like, goes viral between a large population of people. I just don't know what the hell is going on. Like, that is my fear.
I think that that's not that hard to avoid, because the things that become that popular, you hear about a lot. So it's only the danger. Like, TikTok in the past 2 years has just gone crazy. I think they're the most popular social media. Is that, like, a lie?
They were more accessed than Google at one point, I think, at the end of last year.
They're obnoxiously popular right now. And so it's like, if you refuse to go on TikTok, whether it's to, like, watch TikToks or produce anything, and you just are like, I don't even want to have the app on my phone, then I'm like, then you're going to eventually probably lose touch in some way.
By the way, real quick, we all know some Google engineers. They dispute that TikTok was accessed more than Google, but that's a whole conversation. Okay.
That's why I said supposedly, because it's like, that's what's reported, but I didn't go look too deep into any of it. But yeah, I think as long as you try to stay ahead with what's currently there.
Well,
and what's popular.
Jabril, the other thing too is okay. you're bringing up a point of, like, I mean, like, with, because, like, the older I get, the more I'm like thinking, okay, I tell you, yesterday I was filming my next video, and it was at a college campus, and the people who were in the video were born after September 11th, right? The September 11th, right? And so it's like, I remember when I started YouTube back in 2015. That I remember saying to some of my colleagues, like, hey, those kids born on September 11th, 2001, they're in high school now, right? And now, actually, they're, like, in the middle of college, right? So it's like, I was kind of, like, wondering, like, is there cultural stuff that, like, they know about that's happening now that I just don't know about? Because it's like, you know, I was 17 when they were born, right? And so it's like, I'm basically double their age. But if, like, just kind of talking with them, like, I would say, so long as you're still maintaining an open mind of what's out there, you probably won't get caught behind. Whereas, like, my dad doesn't even know how to open his email, right? And he refuses to learn how to open his email. So he's like, his TV that he watches is from 1993. And the TV's older than some YouTubers, right? And it's like, he still watches the thing, and it's like, you know, he can't even get, like, the proper resolution or framing, because it's like a 4x3 CRT TV. He has to pay the city to get rid of it. And, like, I already arranged for the city to come and get rid of it, but then he, like, fought the guy who came to pick it up. He's like, no, you're not taking my TV. And it told the guy to go away. And I'm like, Dad, I already paid for this. Like, what's going on? And so, like, he still has the TV, but he's just so resistant to it. It just makes it so difficult. And it's like, I know, at least when I'm his age, I don't want to be like that. Yeah. Whether or not I become like that, I don't know. But I at least know I that's something, right? At least right now, I don't want to become like, right?
So, yeah, I have a comment to say on that, too. It's basically exactly what you said, Bernard. As long as you're not resistant, and, like, when this new technology comes out, you don't have some reason to never look at it. Because, like, Bernard, you say your dad doesn't even use email. It's like, email's been around for so long that it's like, the only way you're not exposed to it is you're actively trying not to use it. Because how many times in his life where it's probably, hey, to contact us, you can either call us or email. And it's like, email's easier usually, but it's like he would opt to call because he doesn't want to deal with the email.
I would always call.
You're a caller? I hate calling.
This is a whole debate between people.
I'm with you. With the calling. Yep. I agree
with
the calling.
It depends on what it is. It depends on what it is.
See how we influenced Nigel? Uh-huh. See how we influenced him?
Yeah. He took the bait.
No, but I say that because there's a company that I always call, but then I saw they had an email and I emailed and they didn't respond to me. So I do have to call. And when you call, it like rings once and they pick up. So there's like no reason to not call.
Wait. Yeah. So real quick, to come full circle. So none of you guys share this fear that I have.
I do.
I do share the fear, definitely. But I also don't think that I feel like it's like fearing something that you have almost complete control over.
Yeah, it's like you fear getting old and fat and having a heart attack.
You're not going to catch all of the memes out there because the internet is so much bigger than
I don't. I don't browse all the memes. I was out of touch when I was like 15.
Yeah, it's just there's so much out there now compared to back in 2011, right? And even in 2011, it was what, like Rage Comics, that kind of stuff, right? So it was like still a little bit easier to keep track of. But now it's like, you know, I discovered a meme from like 2017 and I think it's hilarious. But if I post it on Twitter, like I'm going to get roasted by people born after September 11th, right?
Actually,
have to put in a little bit of effort. That's all it takes. You just have to not give up.
Yeah, so I want to say one thing. It's like it is the minimal effort because I remember one example are my parents. They're good with it now. But it was when Google Maps became popular. My mom and dad just kept printing out maps. And I kept telling them, you have a phone with data. Just type it in. But they're like, oh, I don't know where the app is on the phone. I don't know how it works. You show them once. And then they never printed a map out again. And then just even that was, oh, these apps are very useful. And it was so funny because my mom would just pull out her phone and be like, oh, I have an app for this. You should get this app. It works great. Like now she's totally in on it. But it was just like that first hurdle of showing them the value. And then it was then after that, there's no – like they're completely in. And so it's like – but they weren't resistant either. They just were kind of – you only need maps when you're leaving the house. So they didn't really have the time to learn. But yeah, it's like once you learn, then you're good.
Yeah, I guess so that's a good point. You've kind of convinced me. So long as you're proactive. And I have two examples that I just thought about. For instance, 4chan, right? 4chan is a place where a culture without a doubt develops, right? And it's a place I'll probably never sign up and visit and be active and all that stuff. However, when the Pepe memes hit, I don't remember what year, I was so confused. I was like, what the hell? Why are the green frogs everywhere, right? And I could have made the choice to just be like, oh, whatever, forget about it and not learn about it. But like, I dove deep. I watched YouTube videos. Read threads. And I learned all about the whole Pepe lore. And yeah, I guess that's a good point.
Did it make your life better?
It did, actually. I'll be honest with you. I probably shouldn't say this publicly, but I'm not going to say it. Never mind.
4chan is a pretty cool guy, huh?
The hacker known as 4chan.
Anyway, I can't say anything bad about my dad because he watches the podcast. But
no. So it's not your dad. It's an anonymous guy who's older than you.
Hey, for the record, that wasn't me saying anything bad to my dad that I wouldn't say to him because it was like I called him. I'm like, yo, we got to get rid of this TV. I gave him my TV that I had when I moved. I paid more than the price of the TV to have that TV sent to him because he was like, oh, I don't want you to spend money on this. And I'm like, all right, sure, I'll send you a TV, right? I'll send you my TV.
So you had to trick him, yeah.
Yeah, so to send it cost more than if I just bought a TV on Amazon. And so you know how he watches it? He has his old TV on the stand still, and then the TV that I gave him is on the floor. And so he watches both. And then sometimes he'll turn off my TV and then just leave his on. And it's like, why are you watching two TVs?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
My dad was an Apple engineer back in the day.
Nice.
He just recently stopped using an iPhone 5 or like 4, you know?
Why?
He's the one with the still the really long connector, like the really big connector that used to go.
Oh, yeah.
The 4S with that from like 2011.
I don't, because he just doesn't, you know, he's like, so I'm happy with what it is. I don't need to.
I will defend your dad. I will defend your father.
But wait, there's more.
Okay, continue.
No, I'm
I was going to say before.
I mean, you know, he uses an old computer.
I was like, before
so
I defend him,
I
need to know all of the information. I was very much like, as smartphones were getting better and better, I remember being a big smartphone hater because there's a reason for it, because I would be in university or in school, probably like before university, and people would go, should I buy? This was like when tablets were getting better too, but it was like before they were actually super capable, and people would do, they would try to get actual work done on a tablet when it just wasn't possible yet. So I was kind of, do you know what I'm talking about? Like they didn't really have like the really accessible keyboard. So you're typing on like the pop-up keyboard, and the apps, you didn't have multitasking. But people would buy that instead of a laptop, and I would just be like, that's just like, it hurts my brain to think why you would do that. But same with smartphones. I remember my friend would be like, I don't need a laptop or a computer. I just use my phone. And I'm just like, that sounds like a miserable experience. So I was kind of like a hater of smartphones. But the only thing that transitioned me was when they started having like, I started to realize that you could actually send emails really easily. You can watch YouTube. And when the multitasking came out, I completely jumped ship. But if you don't do any of that, then then why do you need a phone that's better than an iPhone like 4? Like if you literally just use it as a phone, then that phone's fine, right? Like, but maybe that's part of, if he doesn't have a use for emails and other extra stuff, then I feel like those older phones, you don't really need to make them, you know what I mean? They're not that much worse.
If the iPhone 11 is out and you're pulling up to a date with the iPhone 5, good luck, my guy. Good luck.
I mean, that's, Kevin, how many dates is your dad pulling up to?
I don't know. I'll ask my mom. But I agree with you. Also, something about phones that, you know, I do understand what he's talking about, though, is because, you know, there's not that much different going from, you know, new generation to new generation. Mm. Like there's like marginal improvements, especially now, you know, between the iPhone 10 and then 12 and 13.
Yeah. Now there's kind of like,
I don't know. I don't use iPhones.
They're basically the camera is what you get.
Yeah. You just get more cameras. Now you're up to like 5 cameras on the back. Holy, you know,
look at all these cameras.
How many cameras do you, oh, look at that. 5 cameras. I've got
fewer cameras equals less good.
That's the Pixel 4?
Pixel 5.
5, nice. Same.
When I first got this phone, I went to Tim Hortons, and I just remember this. The girl at the cash freaked out because I pay with my phone, right? Like I have Google Pay, and she freaked. She's like, oh, my God. And I'm like, what? She goes, that's the phone with all the cameras. And I was like, oh, yeah. And she's like, that was it. That was like, she freaked out because my phone had so many cameras.
Is it a Samsung?
Yeah, it's a Samsung. That was the only time anyone ever noticed the phone. And I was like,
is that like the S22 Ultra?
S21. The 22
Nigel,
is the newest.
Jesus Christ. Have you ever bought any?
Isn't that like a $2,000 phone or something?
I think this one's expensive. Like, I got it because I film chem stuff and I actually use it for.
The wide view is nice. I wish mine had a zoom too. That would also
like,
be nice.
I literally use it to film the shorts and stuff sometimes. So it's like, that's, if I didn't have that, I would never justify paying for that like type of phone.
Are you ready for the Samsung S336?
Dude,
I know.
Yeah.
Nigel,
I'm not upgrading.
The back is entirely cameras.
Oh my God, you're Nile Red.
37 cameras. Each are 500 megapixels.
So what, Bernard?
Have you ever bought anything and they just look at you and they're like, oh my God, you're Nile Red.
Wait, what do you mean bought anything? Just at a store?
No, yeah, just like, have you ever been recognized by a cashier and then they just like stop?
Jabril's
like in their tracks?
Like, no one's, it's a lot of times when people find out, like they realize who I am, it's halfway through the interaction.
Oh, okay.
It's because you're not wearing the gloves. You have to wear the gloves.
One embarrassing one that I remember. I wonder if that guy listens to this podcast. I was at a local store, and on the website, it tells you what aisle the item's in. And I spent like 10 minutes looking for it, and I couldn't find it. So I went, I found a guy, and I was like, hey, man, I can't find it. It says on your website that it's in like aisle 35, and I've been searching like constantly. And I'm like, I cannot find it. Can you help me? He's like, sure. He's like, but he's like, just show me where you've looked. So like, whatever. So I lead him to a place, and I'm like, dude, I've been looking here for the last 10 minutes. And he's like, this is aisle. He's like, this is aisle 34.
He's and like, I'm just sir, like, this is Taco Bell, sir.
No, I mean, it wasn't that bad. No, he goes, this is an aisle 35. And I'm just like, oh my God. It was just embarrassing. I spent
so... Did he recognize you?
No, so then he helped me. Like, he laughed because I was like, oh, God, this is embarrassing. He's, it's okay, man. It's okay. And I was kind of embarrassed because, like, that's sad, right? And then he did help me find the item. And as we were helping find it, then he recognized me. And I'm like, hey, this is even more embarrassing because now he knows who I am. And I apparently can't figure out what aisle I'm in for 10 minutes. And I'm complaining that the item's, like, hidden.
Yeah. Wait, so what was it like when he recognized? He's like, wait a second. You make those chemistry videos on YouTube?
Yeah, it wasn't too much. He's just like, I watched the aerogel video. And it was just like a normal, I mean, I was trying as hard as I could to make it normal because I felt embarrassed. He's like, he turns around and be like, oh, that was a smart video. And I'm like, I just spent 10 minutes in the wrong aisle because I couldn't look at the numbers properly and I couldn't figure out what aisle was on which side. So I just was like, I was a little bit embarrassed. But no, most of the time people say they recognize my voice too, like not my face.
Did he say, I recognize you from the Now Green channel?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Bernard, you said do you get recognized? You guys, I mean, if you appear in your video, you're bound to get recognized.
Yeah, so I was at a Target recently. And so when you get recognized... Like sometimes, or a lot of times, people like you'll know because people will look at you in a certain way.
Yeah,
and then
I hate
it. Like, wait a second. And so, but they don't say it at first, right? And so I was at Target. I was at Target again. And like I was buying a prop for one of my Snapchat videos. And so I was like walking up to check out. And this girl, she was like, I can check you out here. And I was like, but you're not a register. She's like, no, I can use my scanner. I was like, oh, okay. And then she like she scanned my stuff and she stopped for a second. She's like, this is going to sound really weird. Are you on Snapchat? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, do you make videos on Snapchat, like the medical ones? And I was like, yes, that's me. And then she's like, oh, my God, that voice. She's like, your voice is exactly how it is in the phone. And like,
and you're like, yes, I don't use a voice changer or anything. Right. Like, there's no reason for it to be different.
Yeah, but it was cool. Cause like,
you that person from my phone?
Yeah. How'd you get here?
What are you doing here?
It was super cool, though, because it's like anytime like somebody comes up to me, like I want to like get to know them a little bit better and like just like ask, like, you know, what's their name? What do they do? You know, that kind of stuff. So it's always cool. Like in D.C., like I walk to the Capitol every day. And so like around the time, like
you're
in
encouraging all the people listening here to... To go Bernard watching.
Find me. The congressional interns in the summertime. I'll walk to the Capitol every day. Mm. So it's like a lot of times when there's interns, like they'll hang around like, you know, outside of the, you know, the Hart office building or something. And so like sometimes they'll be like, oh, are you Chubby Emu? Right. So they'll recognize me. It's always cool to just, you know, get to meet people.
What you should do is pretend that you are not Chubby Emu and that but you do run a YouTube channel. It's just completely different. So they're just confused. Like they're asking you, but they know it's you, right? So then when you just convince them you're a different channel, you're just completely confused. I don't know. No, that's so mean.
Like, what do you mean? He looks like me.
Yeah, right. And then you show the channel and go, oh my God, that's insane.
you know, the freakiest encounters with like fans that you interacted with on the sidewalk or whatever is when they're delivering information to you that you forgot you put out. That recently happened to me, and I was freaking the hell out. I was like, what? I shared all this? How do you know this shit? You know,
what did they say, Jabril? What did they say?
they asked me if I was still working on this super old Dragon Ball Z project that I was working on many years ago. And I don't even remember like putting anything public about it, but they knew the details of it. And I was just sitting there like, how do you know this? And then they asked me if I beat the latest Final Fantasy game, and I was like, wait, I don't even post like the games I played. How do you know this? It freaked me out, dude.
You should somehow harness this information. Because clearly they're able to, they're collecting this information, right? Like valuable information. You should find a way to harness it so that you can use it in some way. If that makes any sense.
I gotta say, sometimes it can be negative if like a crowd is drawn. Because like, let's just say if it's like two or three people recognize you, and then like they start to gather around you, and then like more people start to gather.
Oh, like
they want to see what's going on. So like now all of a sudden there's like this huge crowd. So like, because in DC, like you can even walk sometimes on the weekend, and like you'll come into like a protest or something that's happening, and there's just like this mass of people. And then like if you get recognized in that group, then like people start to flock, and it's like, yeah, like it's happened once for me, but then also in
DC.
He's
gonna run away.
Representatives.
Song and dance. The answer is always song and dance.
So are you saying
representatives, like they'll get like, it'll just like, if you're at the Whole Foods and then, you know, a congresswoman is in there, and then like there's people from out of town who are there to protest, but then, you know, see this particular congresswoman. Now all of a sudden there's a crowd with her.
I've never
really heard of this. There's political groupies. Damn.
Yeah.
Dude.
Right.
I've never had any negative experience with anyone who recognizes me. Thankfully.
I have one, but they didn't recognize me. Long story short, I was at a party,
and they were shit-talking this person named Jabril.
Don't try that at home. I'm just kidding. This chick recognized me, and then I guess she had told this other dude. And this other dude, the clout chaser is the best way to explain it, right? And I learned something very important this day, okay? So this guy learns that, like, I have a YouTube channel, blah, blah, blah. He comes up to me and tries to be friends. And, like, I'm a very friendly person, right? Like, you
very
know,
friendly.
We can hang out, talk, whatever, whatever, right? But lo and behold, this guy has an agenda. So he asks if we can swap information, like Twitter handles, something like that, right? And I'm like, yeah, sure, let's do that. And they're asking for his thing. He's like, no, here, take my phone, you take mine, and just put it in, and we'll switch back, right? So I'm putting in my information. He has my phone, and he gives it back to me. And later I find out that he went on my Twitter, like posted a video of himself plugging his page, and I think he did on Instagram as well. I don't know how he did all this in such a short time, but I felt so violated. I felt so violated,
no
dude.
Way.
It was insane. It was insane.
Yo, but Jabril,
that's
you have
wild.
To give it to him. That is very impressive.
It was incredibly impressive, but I learned to, like, don't let people ever, ever take my phone ever again.
How did he plug in without you even noticing?
I don't know, but it happened, and I learned a very valuable lesson that day.
But I think that's dumb, too.
That's,
it's like,
so
he posts
funny.
His own stuff, so you immediately know who to hate.
Like, what did you say to him? Like, how do you even...
there's no way
what
he would...
What do you do in that scenario?
Like,
it was,
no way
it
he
was
would...
later. It was much later. Like, he
oh,
did
okay.
the thing, and then I didn't check it. Like, I have no reason to, so I'm just continuing to join the
and
party.
And then he's like, see ya.
Yeah, and then later, I checked this tweet, has, like, liked and stuff. I'm like, who the fuck is... Who is this? And then I realized it was him. It's like, this is crazy. What the hell?
So it's... But there's no way that would ever go well for him. It's just weird.
I mean, from my experience with him, it seems like he had a lot of practice with doing that. That was my takeaway.
Every
He's
single
really
person
good.
He meets.
Do you remember who it was?
I do not. I deleted it as soon as I seen
Jabril,
it.
We'll call him out. We'll end his career right now.
Mind you, call him out because that might be good for him. I just want to know.
That's
like,
true. That's exactly
it worked
what
out
he
for
wants.
Him.
This was 3 years ago, by the way, so I really don't remember much.
I was saying that kind of stuff happens to me too. And it's like you meet somebody and you can instantly tell that they want something from you. Like they want, you know, they really want to be, they want you to give them a shout out or they want to do a video with you. And they don't really, you know, they might even have like 10 subscribers, but they're like, hey, I've got this idea. I think we should work together. And it's somebody that you might kind of know like personally or like a friend of a friend. You know, I always have, you know, friends ask if they can like Sandra's, or okay, my girlfriend, she'll have her, like her mom will call Sandra and she'll be like, hey, can this cousin, can he have a shout out on your channel, on Kevin's channel for his birthday? And it's like my girlfriend's mom's sister's son wants a shout out on my channel.
Yeah, but to be fair, that's something you have to learn though, right? Like I think the position that we're in, it's a really unique position being that not a lot of people experience, right? So like to be on this side of the fence, it's easy to understand like, okay, that's kind of ridiculous ask. But someone who's never been in it, like it, you know, I know even when I was a smaller creator, I used to think a lot like that as well. Like, hey, why can't you just give me a shout out? Why not? You know, but now that I'm here, like I understand the complexity.
What you should do as a troll is one video you go, I'm giving shout outs now. So here are the shout outs that everyone has been asking for. And just for like,
I mean, that
15
would be fun.
Minutes,
I
you just read handles and names.
That's good.
Just,
but how meta would April the joke Fool's... be? Would the audience get it?
No, that, they would absolutely not get it.
So just for you and the homies.
Just go from now on, I'm giving shout outs to everyone who wants it every video. And your video is 8 minutes long, but the shout outs are 32 minutes.
<You're> just, that would be a good April Fool's. I might do that.
You're just listing names and Twitter handles. And then the reality is nobody gets even a single follower because there are so many shout outs that nobody gets anything from it.
That'll learn them.
Like my grandma's called me and asked me if one of her friends in her association, can I give her grandson a shout out on my channel?
Oh no.
It's so funny.
Or like,
it's like,
I haven't had that in a while.
I can't because it's not fair to everybody that asks me. I couldn't do them all. That's what I always say.
No, but it's true. You literally can't. Like if you give a shout out to every person who wanted one, like I said, you'd have to post a 30-minute video weekly of just shout out. And then it would be completely useless. Like you have to be selective or else they're valueless.
You can just say join my Patreon, your name will be on screen.
Yeah, I mean that's almost as much value. Like even for example, like if you unless the shout out, the thing that's kind of interesting too, I guess, is if I were just to go on my channel now and go, hey guys, just by the way, my friend Jabril asked for a shout out, so here, follow him on Twitter. You'd probably get like 5 follows.
Yeah, let's do that. No, I don't care. Let's do that. Let's set that up.
Should we run an experiment
right
now?
You'd honestly probably get like 5 follows and none of them are valuable because they don't even know why they're there. Whereas if you were in the video and at the end I said, if you like Jabril's really helped me with this project, like basically you see what he's capable of. He does all this crazy cool like AI programming and like all this other stuff, whatever you said you're wanting to get into more.
Black like, History Month just passed.
Exactly, another big point. And then you go,
you're obligated.
Give him a follow like he really deserves it. You'd probably get like a decent number of people going there, and then the follows you get would be actually valuable because they came for you. But like just a random shout out is like almost
you know what Nigel's
bad.
Doing right now?
What's
he's trying to justify why he didn't give us a shout out on his most recent video. That's what he's doing.
No, I don't. So here's the thing. I don't even give my own stuff shout outs. So that's
Nigel, you know, you could have played my music when you tasted that hot sauce. You know, you could.
Your music?
My music.
You make music?
The ones in my video.
Friendship ended.
I didn't know that. But yeah, I don't even shout out my own stuff. Like, we have merch. I don't talk about it because I'm like, there's no play. Like, if there's an ad spot in the video, I don't even talk about my own stuff.
Yeah.
It feels weird to double dip, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it's just like, I just don't do it.
Well, okay. You know, you do have some opportunities to plug merch. And it would be like how Linus Tech Tips does it. Compare it to like some water bottle, and he's like, by the way, you can get this for $29.99.
I know, but for me, like when I'm making the video, I don't like to deviate at all from what I'm talking about. So that's why I also don't add extra details that aren't relevant to what I'm saying. Like I don't even like adding a sentence that's not related to what I'm saying. So if I can't plug merch with that logic.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing though in like the second channel is I'm going to wear I purposely got an the embroidered shirts we made. I'm wearing them in the channel. So it's like, you just see me with it. And then if I do mention it at some point, I guess that works. But even that video, we had no ad, and I didn't do a shout out. I don't know.
Okay,
maybe I'm just bad.
I have a question about shout outs.
I feel you. I'm bad too.
You're all anti shout outs, but
I'm not anti shout outs.
Elon Musk slides into your DM and he's like, "Hey, no strings attached. I want a shout out. Would you do it?"
Honestly, I probably wouldn't.
No,
it's funnier if you shut him down,
right? But then it's like, why does he want this? There might be something going on behind the scenes.
Because he listened to this podcast and he wants to troll you.
We should ask him. If Elon, if you're listening to this right now, do you want a shout out? I actually
talk to my manager. I'll let you know my going rate
for shout outs. I have beef with Elon, so. He doesn't know I exist.
I'll do it for a Cybertruck.
And he doesn't have beef with me, but it's one-sided beef.
Have you been blocked by him on Twitter?
No, he liked a tweet made by somebody who bootlegged a video of mine.
Oh, yeah.
So he's supporting the bootleggers. First transgression. Second, I tried to use his song in my first Nile Blue video, and it was auto-blocked because apparently he had, like, copyright on it. So I couldn't use the song, and I had to put my own crappy music. Well, yeah, my own crappy music.
What song?
His one, like, Don't Doubt Your Vibe song that he made a while ago.
I don't remember.
Tried to do it, and it said blocked. And if it wasn't a copyright strike, he would just take – whoever is managing the rights would take all the proceeds of the video. And I tweeted him. I was like, "Hey, Elon, please give me permission to use your song." And he never responded. So you know what?
Wow.
Those two things.
You got to tweet him like every day for 300 days like everybody else does.
Those two transgressions,
dirty bastard.
Unforgivable. Mostly the liking bootleg content. That is. No.
The blocking is worse.
But he didn't do it.
I don't care. That dirty bastard.
He had no interaction in that. But for the first one, I kind of want a formal apology for the pain and suffering that it caused.
I like that if you ever met Elon, you'd be like, "Hey, you know, back in 2015, you liked a tweet from somebody
else.
Can you please unlike the actual video?"
Yeah. I'd like you to unlike
it. You need to write this wrong.
Honestly, it's like, it's so ridiculous that I feel like that's the only way to approach it now. Don't even introduce yourself. Just come right out with that.
Just lead with that.
I have to. If the interaction ever occurred, I'd have to.
We could have done it like at Starbase. He was there. He left the day before. He should have been there when we were there taking a tour.
And I we were talking about the tweet thing. I would have had to.
I know.
Just confront him. They're like, "Who is this guy? Why he's just immediately confrontational?"
were you showing the receptionist the tweet and everything? Like,
no, we were just talking about it when we were there because I remembered. We were talking about something, and I remember
the receptionist was scary. He didn't. He almost didn't let Nigel in because he's Canadian.
Yeah, because they're racist against Canadians.
They said Americans only, no Canadians allowed at some areas. They said you can't even look over there, Nigel. Yeah. Don't even look at the rocket.
I had to avert my gaze. And I wasn't allowed in the lounge or whatever, the tower.
Oh, yeah. We never got to go up there anymore.
Well, apparently out of respect.
Oh, was it? I would have left you down
I know.
There, man.
I thought they would have left me. But
they have a bar up there, apparently.
Yeah, but it's off limits to foreigners or just Canadians.
I guess I have a quick topic. I would love to get your thoughts on it. I think when you think in terms of capital, it makes sense. But what's really fascinating is that YouTube is dabbling in short form content and TikTok is dabbling in long form content. So it's like a crisscross happening and they're both competing for like the same market. They're trying to gobble each other up. But I think it's fascinating.
What's your question?
TikTok would need to pay the creators in a different structure, right, to win. Because, I mean,
especially with
YouTube
long-form content,
right?
True.
You know?
Yeah, you know what's so fascinating? Every time I load up TikTok, they always serve me an ad, like, as soon as I get on the app. Mm-hmm. And then I, like, rarely ever see them interspersed with content. And I just wonder, how does that work with paying creators?
Yeah,
I feel like the platform just, like, takes advantage of creators and serves it on their own time. And say, "Oh, this is our space, not yours."
Really?
And especially now.
When I browse TikTok, I don't really follow people. I would rather just browse through it. You know, I don't really have any loyalties on TikTok.
No loyalties.
I don't know about you guys.
No. Except for now Red.
Exactly. Strong loyalty. I follow you, Jabril, recently, I think.
I don't post anything, but thank you.
Big loyalty. See, I have, unlike Kevin, I strong loyalty. I follow you too, Kevin, I think.
Oh, yeah? What was my latest video?
I follow you. I haven't been on TikTok in like months, so, or in a month.
You've ended two friendships today, Nigel.
I actually have not been on TikTok, so I don't know.
Because the creator incentive structure, I mean, it needs to be there for people to do the longer form content. Because it's like, just think about for Nigel and making his most recent video about turning gloves into hot sauce.
Well, think about it.
Like,
if I post it,
what if you split that up into 1 minute videos and put it on TikTok?
Sorry?
Split it up into 1 minute videos.
61 minute TikTok.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible, Kevin. No, they definitely have to do something about it because there's no incentive to be there. YouTube will always win right now for the long form content. So unless they fix that, I don't know.
And the thing is, I don't think they can go that other route because it's like people are, at least from recent times, they're used to TikToks being 1 and then 3 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. If you go to like 10 minutes plus on a phone, I mean, it's like the same video I have on YouTube, I'll post it to Snapchat. It's a shorter version on Snapchat, but still the retention is not the same as it is. Because on YouTube, people will watch 8-9 minutes. Snapchat, they'll watch 2 or 3, right?
Maybe it...
But that can change, right?
It can algorithmically find people too, right? Because there's some people who might just like long-form TikToks. But it might not appeal to the vast majority of people.
If they start signing exclusive deals, or it's like Chubby Inu, we just paid him $500,000, he'll exclusively post on TikTok, then that could change the culture,
dude, he's
right?
$500 million.
I that's what I said. What are you saying? Play it back.
That's more like
it. Yeah, they would the incentive structure would be the big part, but
they definitely
I don't know.
Because I mean right now even I have no incentive to really post. We do it because we have the videos. But
do you like that clout?
Oh yeah. The one thing that I think that TikTok does, in my opinion, the only thing that TikTok has that other social platforms, I guess video platforms don't have, which I think is interesting. I've yet to use it. I'm telling everyone I'll use it. Is the ability for I feel like it's a lot easier to get to know other creators through it. Like Twitter's weird. You have to just like cold tweet somebody and then everybody sees your message and it's just kind of odd.
Yeah.
YouTube's kind of better because you can comment, but then it's like, you have to just like watch their video and if you don't have a genuine comment, you just would never comment. So it's like, it feels a bit weird. But what I like about TikTok, again, I haven't done it, is the friends only option. Like you can create just videos that only people that you mutually follow will see. So it's like, if you see someone follows you or you follow them and you end up being friends on TikTok, but you have no reason to ever really talk to them, you can still make videos that they will only see and kind of interact with them, but in a way that's not you like cold DMing people, which is kind of weird, or can be weird, I should say. I've never done any of that stuff on TikTok, but I do feel it is a unique feature where you can interact just with your mutual friends, which I don't see on other platforms. So as a content creator, I think it's useful. But that's about it.
But you've never used it.
But I've never used it. But I always say, Hank Green and other people that I'm mutually friends with, they do it. And I always like it when it would say like friends only video. You're like, oh, this is like an exclusive video just for us. And it's not, there'll be like 10 comments. So it's like I never comment. But it's like if you do actually have an opinion on what this person's saying, it is like an easy way to open up a dialogue with somebody who you would otherwise have no reason to really talk to, but you're both aware of each other, which I think is cool.
That's one of the biggest gripes I have with YouTube. The focus on community is so poor. in my personal
opinion. It really is. They say that it's such a big deal, but man, I don't. It doesn't feel like it.
Any other science creator, if I didn't meet them in person, it's like, how do you even kind of get to know them? You have to, yeah, you have to leave. So, you leave an obscure comment on their video, hope they respond, and then you have like a little bit of a dialogue, but you have to, it's just weird. Like, it just always feels not genuine.
So funny enough, I actually was able to give a presentation on this, and I shared the story about how I got to know Vsauce.
Okay.
And so on YouTube, Vsauce, he first subscribed to my channel, right? But there was no way that I could message him and be like, hey, what's up? So what had to happen is I had to wait, I think it was like a year and a half, for him to finally follow me on Twitter, where I can then slide into his DMs like, hey, what's going on, man? Which is like, it's such a poor community fucking experience, you know?
That's why...
Yeah, and then you have to like, you know, or you can contact them through their business email.
It's just, it feels...
Off-platform.
And then you go, did they follow me because they want to like collaborate or something? Or they just want to be subscribed. Like, I don't want to be annoying and just message them. It's just like, it feels weird, which is why I said TikTok's nice. Because if you see your, let's say you were mutuals with Vsauce on TikTok, you could put out a video being like, guys, I'm thinking of getting out of this type of content and going into this. Like, what's your take on it? And it's like, he might comment.
More
like,
that's why I
like
Discord.
Hey, I've always liked your video on this, this, and this. Maybe go into this. And then you just have a conversation. And it would just,
more organically, you're saying.
Yeah, like you're actually talking to them. You're not like cold messaging them. And even if they follow you, it just feels kind of odd. Because then, I don't know, it just feels kind of awkward and weird. Which is, in my head, was always like, it's so much better. Like, I mean... except I guess Bernard, like I know from just meeting in person. And Kevin, I didn't just like cold DM. Bernard kind of did, to be fair.
No, I totally did.
But at the same,
I asked you about Snapchat stuff.
Yeah, but
wait, where was his DM on Twitter?
Yeah,
but he.
Yeah, see, that's the problem.
No, but he DM'd in a way that was It was just the, hey, I have a question about Snapchat. I like that. There was no like, there's no prelude or anything. It's just, hey man, I got a question about Snapchat.
Because I think we interacted briefly last year about cyanide, right? Because it's like, I think like I followed you on Twitter or something, but then somebody brought something up about cyanide and then like you commented on it in a tweet. And then, like, that was the interaction, like, early last year. And then I just, like, randomly messaged you.
Like, that's my example of we had to have that, like, mute, like, a casual interaction of, like, replying as a joke on some photo or something for you to be like, okay, it's – and I felt the same way when you just asked me something about Snapchat. I didn't go, who is this guy to think that – no, I'm like, oh, cool. Like, he's asking me a question. But, like, that's what's always kind of weird is I feel like you have to have that little bit of casual interaction. Otherwise, it's just, like, why is he messaging me? Like, what does he want? It's kind of like, even though I follow his stuff, like, what's he looking for? I am bad and I've never understood how to interact with, like, it's social media, but I don't use it socially.
But it's beyond just the casual interactions. Like, you kind of both have to know about each other as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right? What I
because
mean.
Because there can be a disparity sometimes in your followers on YouTube versus your followers on any other platform, in which if like, for example, let's say that someone wants to collab with me, right? And the fact of the matter is numbers always play a part of it, right? Because regardless of the fact, so let's say someone wants to collaborate with me on YouTube, they have like 500,000 subscribers or whatever, but on Twitter they have like 2,000 followers, right? It's more likely that I'm not really gonna look into it if they have 2,000 versus if they were to like use their weight on the platform that they're actually operating on, which is why I think the whole community thing is just so busted on YouTube.
It is. You know, that's why we do a lot of stuff on Discord, and it feels a lot nicer and a lot more organic. You know, we have different chat rooms that we can talk to, and it's nice. I mean, YouTube doesn't have any feature like that. You can't just open, you know, a chat with somebody on YouTube. You can't do anything like that. There's no, like,
They had DMs before, and they took them away.
They did. Messages. Yeah. There's no chat rooms on YouTube. There's no, like, you know, they still don't properly thread comments. So it's like, you know, how am I supposed to interact with people? I'm literally unable to interact with people in my comment section.
No, it's
I hate it.
No, they definitely need to work on that. And even like we're saying between creators, otherwise you have to just leave comments on people's videos and have weird and like awkward. But then that also doesn't really do anything. Like, I actually only comment on videos of people I already know. So it's like Will, you, or any of you guys here. Like, I'll comment, but it's like I already talked to you. So it's not like I'm opening up dialogue. It's more like I'm commenting there to mess with you and then knowing that when I talk to you in person, you're going to bring it up.
But I would disagree about saying, you know, you have them, you know, having to know about each other's channel, because I love it when I get messages from people that I have no idea what they do and it's something completely different, and they message me and it's like they make, you know, comics
so
or something
like
that.
I think you're 100% right. Like, a lot of it's in, I guess it's in like your own head. A lot of times you're just like, I don't want to just, I agree that when...
I know what you're talking about, though. It makes it easier.
It makes it easier, and I find it makes it more...
Especially if they want to collab or something.
Like, more genuine, because I find that if you had to cold message somebody, I feel like you can't... It's like... that's why I said I like Bernard's message, where he goes, hi, I have a question about Snapchat. And it's just details right away. Have you noticed this, this, and this? What are you doing to... I like that, because there's an immediately... Like, it's something I'm interested in and we can talk about. Whereas, like, I always find it weird when you have no idea how this person is... And it's kind of like, just the first message is so kind of, I have to think too much about it that I just don't do it.
Do you ever get a message and it just starts off with, hey, can I ask you a question?
I don't listen to it.
You're like, what? Do you ever get that, Jabril?
Wait, hold on. That's what Bernard did to you. What do you mean you don't listen to it?
No, he, no. Bernard Jabril, didn't ask, Bernard he didn't had the question. Ask permission for the question. He asked it.
Yes.
Oh, you're saying that's the only text in the message.
Yeah, they're like, hey, can I ask you a question about something?
No, don't
you don't reply to that.
Yeah, because it's a trap.
No, I'm saying Bernard was good. He just goes,
it is.
Goes,
it's totally,
hey,
it feels
have
like
you noticed
a trap.
This about Snapchat? Like, there was no, or maybe he said, can I ask a question? But it was in the same brick of the question.
Yeah, because I just asked the question directly. Like, hey, did you notice like this thing happening on Snapchat over like the last couple of weeks?
Which
or
honestly is like, I like that more, because it makes me feel like we are like, it's kind of like the pleasantries don't need to be done, because we've already acknowledged that we know each other and we don't have to do any of that. So you just asking the question was like, oh, we're already buddies. We can just skip all of that stuff and just have a conversation. So, I mean, and then literally after you messaged that, I think we set up like a voice chat within like a couple days. And then I invited you on the podcast. And that's how you ended up being on the podcast like week later.
It's time to move on to the Patreon episode.
Thank you, host Kevin.
We're running
Kevin.
Over to our time.
Very strict schedule.
The moderator. This is the most I've talked to Jabril
ladies,
in a long
what's up?
Time.
I paid $10,000 for this episode. Ladies, holler at me.
He's broke now.
So, Jabril, you have one. That's your shout. That's your $10,000 message. That's it. That's it.
Yeah. Cool. Come follow me. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, _Jabril. Subscribe. Jabril's
follow
everything.
Him on Snapchat.
Do that. Do that. I should probably make it for someone grabs it before I do.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.